Hello and welcome to Gotta Classify 'Em All, a podcast where childhood memories meet science. Each episode, we talk about a Pokemon and the science that may have inspired it. In this episode, we discuss the 13th Pokemon, Weedle. I'm your co-host and Pokemon trainer in training, Margaret Hanslick-Burton, and joining me, as always, is 2000 Regional Pokemon Tournament winner, Camden Hanslick-Burton.
Welcome to the show!
We are Gotta Classify 'Em All, our special podcast. As you all know, some of these episodes are available to the public and some are just available for our very special, very wonderful, thoughtful, kind,
beautiful,
handsome, intelligent. Benevolent, intelligent, charming,
patient,
graceful, patient Patreons. So you might be thinking, well, I hope you're thinking. I really enjoy all episodes I've heard of Gotta Classify 'Em All.
And I want to have all those traits associated with me.
Exactly. And we're not confusing correlation and causation. If you become a Patreon supporter, you will become all of those things. So if you want to become all of those things, then there is a way to do that. You can support Gotta Classify 'Em All and our other podcast, Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions, by supporting us on Patreon, and you can earn not only those qualities, but access to bonus content. What bonus content, Camden? I'm sure everyone is wondering.
Very specially, very recently, our co-host Margaret recorded a meditation track.
Sleep track.
And it's only been available for the last week to our Patreon supporters. So if you join today, you can get access to that as well. It's very cool. It's really long. Be a great thing to relax to, fall asleep to.
And you can learn about sharks. And that's all I'll say.
Yeah. It has some theme to, you know, what our shows are all about. It's really good. Great. Margaret did some great audio mixing. It's very relaxing.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can also get those previously unheard Gotta Classify 'Em Alls that aren't on the public feed.
Yeah.
There'll be more bonus content coming soon, so join us. The way to go there is to go to patreon.com/don'tpeeonyourleg. Back to the show.
All right, Margaret, are you ready for our 13th Pokemon? Our
lucky 13th number 13. Episode?
Lucky number 13, and we're recording on a Monday. So, do you remember already?
Weedle.
Okay. Weedle, what do you think their name breaks down to? Like, where do you think they got that name from?
I am assuming it's a plant-based Pokemon.
Okay.
But just based on weed.
So, weed is an old English word. For weed is weed. So
thank you.
What else does this word sound like?
Needle. Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Needle.
Oh.
No, remember that thing that was like Yanni? Like, is it saying needle or is it saying Yanni?
I don't know if I encountered that.
What?
Like, no. Yanni or Laurel.
I know, but there was one that was like needle space. I don't know. Needle, which is, I'm going to butcher this. Sorry, everyone. From the Latin word nere, meaning to spin, like thread.
Okay.
So
needle weedle. Weed. Okay. Oh, I have an idea for what it looks like, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, is it that time?
Yes. Yeah, time to guess.
So knowing that you particularly broke it down into weed and needle, I think it's going to be something thorny.
Okay. That's a good guess. I like where your head's at.
Like, maybe it's, man, maybe it's like a rose with huge thorns.
Now, for everyone listening, we've completely ventured into, until we run across Pikachu, you don't know these Pokemon.
No.
We might hit a Jigglypuff somewhere.
I can't even remember what that might look like, though.
Oh, great.
I know that name.
I mean, really, we're heading into just, I bet you only know a few more. Do you know what Diglett looks like?
Is it Three Little Tombstones? Margaret
Shelley. I'm not even going to tell you. Tombstones.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I'm excited for that episode.
Digimon is something different.
Yes. Digital monsters.
Okay.
We're off our track.
Okay.
All right. A thorny rose boy.
Yeah. Something along those lines. Or maybe like a vine.
Okay.
I think definitely green, though. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm very excited.
You ready to describe it to everyone and react?
Uh-huh. I'm also, before you do that, I'm also going to go back to my short-lived tradition of drawing them and putting that on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So check out my recreation in a little bit once I see this.
Well, I do think this one might be one of the easier ones for you to draw.
It's just a worm. It's just a straight line. Oh. Oh, wow. Okay, so for the listener... Wow. It looks like a brown caterpillar with a pair of little nub legs per segment, per body segment. And then at the end of the caterpillar, it's like a white little puff that looks like almost like a flame, kind of. Not really, but it's like a...
Like a white teardrop.
Yeah, like a white teardrop. And then the face of Weedle is a big pink nose that's the same color as the leg nubs, and then little black eyes with white pupils and a little dunce cap on the top. Wow. Stunning.
So the dunce cap, mm-hmm. I enjoy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll get into it, but you're taking the word needle and thinking about what this Pokemon might be.
Yep.
Does that give you any kind of hint as to what?
It's a spike on the top.
Mm-hmm. It's at least sharper than a dunce cap.
Sure.
The dumbest Pokemon. Weedle is the hairy bug Pokemon.
Now,
I prepared these ahead of time, and so often I'm just sort of like in copy-paste mode, just mm-hmm. scanning through web pages. I didn't really spend time thinking about hairy.
It's not hairy at all.
In fact, he's very shiny.
He's very shiny. At least, and again, I will say, we only really look at one image in this section of mm-hmm. this podcast. So, but I would say if there is hair, it's extremely fine.
Very microscopic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like a whale.
Yep. Yeah. Good job. what type? This Pokemon is two types. What would
grass.
You think? That's a good guess. It's not grass.
Oh, okay. Well,
there are grass Pokemon. This
rock.
Is not one. It's not a rock.
Fighting.
That
type.
Thing looks like a
caterpillar,
which is a
bug.
Bug, and then
fighting type.
If that thing on top, fighting.
It's always fighting stop. Type.
If that thing on top is a sharp mm-hmm. boy, what might it do with it?
Dirt. Dig dirt.
Dig. It's a digging type. No. Poison. It is bug and poison.
Okay.
Poison so you might
bug.
Start to get an idea of what it might use its little dunce cap for.
Poison.
All right.
Venom, though, really.
There's no venom type.
That doesn't make sense. Okay.
Well,
okay.
Listen, there's a time to tell people about science, and it's not right now. So. This boy rolls over to you when you're taking a stroll outside. I mean, theoretically, no one would go outside when it's 99 degrees and 60% humidity outside as it is in Kansas City. But besides that point, this guy rolls up to you.
Rolls?
Well, walks up.
Waddles.
How tall does it come to you on you?
Oh, see, in this picture, it's kind of reared up a little bit.
Yeah, it's reared up on its hind legs.
I'm going to say it's length we're talking.
I guess so. They say height on the thing, but I'm assuming they mean length.
Okay. I'm going to say it's 6 inches long.
Double it.
Oh, yeah, that's disconcerting. Okay.
Big worm.
Okay.
And then you think, you know what? I'm going to pick you up so you don't get hit on the road. How
75
heavy?
Pounds.
Just
the densest
dark
being.
Dark matter.
I'm going to say 3 pounds.
7.
Okay.
Hey, also concerning.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts to fight. They're great, or they're not going to be very... They're good against fighting against grass-type Pokemon.
Okay.
Fighting-type Pokemon.
Fighting-type Pokemon.
Another poison and bug-type. Usually like against like doesn't work very well in the Pokemon universe.
Yes, like a magnet. I need to remember that.
But yeah, like a magnet. Mm-hmm. But what things do you think would fare pretty well against this little friend?
Water.
No, just normal. Water's normal for a little bug.
Oh. What electricity?
No, it's normal.
What do you mean it's normal?
Just, it hurts it normally.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's some type that really hurt it. Like, boy, I sure hope a thing doesn't fall on this one.
Branch, rock.
Rock, branch type Pokemon.
Here's rock. The thing, you joke. I don't know if that's real or not. I don't know. I need to memorize all the types. No, I don't. I don't want that hanging out in my brain.
Rock
I'll
type.
I'll do it. Okay, rock type. Yeah, of course. A rock falls on anybody, they're in trouble. Okay, all right.
Some Pokemon are made of rock.
Okay, yes. We'll get to it. Like Diglett.
Not going to give it up.
Okay.
oh, no. My Weedle's on...
the roof.
Fire. Help.
So fire, it's bad against fire and bad against rock. Again,
take
everyone...
it inside. I hear birds.
Bird type.
Flying type. And then, boy, I sure hope you don't read its mind.
Psychic type?
Yep.
Is that really a type?
Uh-huh. Wait, you don't... Oh, yeah, I guess we haven't gotten to a psychic type yet.
No.
We will.
Do psychic types call up the police and say, I bet I know where that missing child is, and then they're wrong all the time.
Well, yeah, there's a Pokemon that constantly goes, I think you have a scar on your leg. And then it distracts you. And
I can't wait to get to those psychic types.
It's called Cold Read. Jamin. Cold Reachman.
Cold Reachman?
Yeah. So Weedle evolves into Kakuna in level 7.
Are you serious? This is just like that other one.
Yes, exactly. Get ready.
This is exactly this, like, what's
yeah,
this?
Yeah, they got this? Lazy and then creative. You'll get a sense of when the Pokemon creators were like, just make it the same thing.
What was the other Pokemon that we learned about that I didn't like?
Metapod.
I was so going to say Chrysalisium.
And then that's at level 7. And then at level 10 is Beedrill.
Beedrill. I bet it's a... No, I don't want to guess yet. Okay.
So, ready for the Pokedex entry?
Yep.
Weedle. Often found in forests, it hides in grass and bushes, eating leaves. It has a sharp, venomous stinger on its head.
See, venomous. Thank you. Oh, that's it?
Yep.
Oh.
It hates being touched. No, I had that.
Okay. So it doesn't say what it uses. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
That was it?
Oh.
I was joking.
It lives among the grasses.
Often found in forests, it hides in grass and bushes, eating leaves. It has a sharp, venomous stinger on its head.
Okay. Thank you. Gorgeous.
Sharp.
Sharp.
Venomous.
Okay.
Doesn't mention the thing on its butt, the little tail.
Mm-mm.
It's not a stinger? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, okay. So it has two fighting moves, this little friend. One is called Poison Sting. Take a wild guess at what that does.
Stings someone with poison.
Yes.
Yeah,
venom,
them, really.
And then they get poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
Poisoned. Mm-hmm. And then String Shot. What do you think that is?
Can it send out a string and, like, lasso them?
If you got... When you walk through sticky bug strings, what do?
You get stuck a little bit.
Yeah. This slows the opponent down.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
Or if it were me, I'd just go, "Lech," and then sort of run around in like a circle.
And just like wipe my face.
Yeah. That's it. Those are the only two things it can do.
Great.
So a couple
I'm having another... A Caterpie moment, I feel like. It seems...
It's having its Caterpie...
It's giving Caterpie.
Yeah, it's giving only Caterpie. And then get ready for Kakuna. So, some fun facts about this Pokemon. I've got two. its head stinger is apparently 2 inches long.
Is that included in the foot-long length?
So... That's what I was wondering, because that looks less than a sixth of its body.
Yeah, if you look at the picture, photo.
The photo. It's the crime scene photo. What do you call it when they take they do a sketch?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a sixth of its body length.
Not according to that picture. Okay.
Also, it says in the description, but not in the official Pokedex, that there's a barbed stinger on its tail.
Okay. So that is... Which, so we've got stingers on both ends.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Double stinger.
Interesting.
And according to Bulbapedia, quote, the combination of red and yellow in its coloring creates a bright warning sign to predators that it is poisonous.
Wait, sorry. Where's the red and yellow?
You know.
No, I don't. It's white and pink and brown and eyes are black.
Pink and brown are red and yellow.
No.
I don't know what to tell you. Okay. That's Beetle.
Okay.
And that's it. Weedle's a fun character, and from playing the game, just like Caterpie, you would just be like walking one foot, and Weedle would show up, and you'd be like, no, I'm just trying to walk through this forest, and you'd be like, run, I'll run away, I don't want to fight it, and then you're like, okay, I'm out of that, and you take another step, it's like, hi, I'm a different Weedle, and you're like, oh, I'll never get through this, I'll never get through this forest.
Okay, well, you know, even though, and I don't want to, you know, speak controversially, but even though this Pokemon seems a little bit less exciting than some, I'm excited to research some relatives in nature.
Yeah.
So you're ready, Margaret? There are a lot of cool opportunities. I am ready.
All right. We have 20 minutes to do our own research. Yep. And then that's it. And we come back to you and share all the fun things we know. See you in a bit.
See you in a bit. Bye. Welcome back. It's now time to share what we learned and what we discovered about any similarities to real animals that Weedle has. Cameron, how are we going to figure out who goes first? Oh, I actually have coins this time.
Oh, great.
They're from an arcade bar.
Hell, yeah. Wow.
Okay, do you want heads, which is going to be this little angle symbol, or do you want tails, which is the side with the words on it?
Words.
Okay, ready? I know I should have had you call it in midair. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Words. You get to go first.
Good Foley work.
Thank you.
There was actually no coin.
No. Yeah.
All right, Margaret. You had a problem with something that was said in the Pokédex right away.
Just one problem?
Just one problem.
Okay, what was it? Oh, about venom and poison?
Yes.
Okay.
It says it has a venomous stinger in the Pokédex, which is correct, but then it's called a poison-type Pokémon.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many poison-type Pokémon. So let's set the record straight a bit and then talk about poison. As it relates to the insect world.
Hmm.
So I looked at poison venom and also venomous insects. Citations are phys.org, Life Science, and Compound Chemistry. So, Margaret, the difference. What's the difference between venom and poison?
Venom is injected and poison is ingested.
Yep. Or absorbed or...
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that gets into you, not through being injected.
Stung. Yep. Or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... Thinking about this, venom and poison, which one is generally used for attacking prey?
Venom.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Poison is more of a defense kind of
more
thing.
More of a remember not to eat something like me again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or you may not even have the chance to.
That doesn't work if, say, you're mimicking an animal that's venomous, but you yourself are not.
Like
that's
a viceroy.
Defense. Yes. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
but even then, that's poison.
Oh, is the viceroy? Oh, no. Poison.
Right.
They're
making me a poison. But
yes.
There are animals that mimic snakes. They themselves aren't venomous. But so is venom just used to attack, though?
Based on your tone, I'm going to say no.
So we know there are like accidents, right? Say you step really close next to a venomous snake.
Mm-hmm.
What could happen?
You get bit.
You get bit. And that wasn't them trying to prey on you.
Mm-hmm.
That was, they got scared and they were acting in defense.
Right.
And then we know there are other animals, especially maybe this time of year, that a certain dog of ours loves to hunt.
Name any animal. Oh, wasps and bees.
Uh-huh. And some of those, like a bee, are not acting to prey on something. That one is defensive venom. Mm-hmm. So it's not always the case. But
yeah, defense, I feel like, is maybe the most common reason for venom. Especially, well, like, I'm thinking underwater.
Well, what are you thinking of?
Well, like a sea urchin.
Yeah, but a jellyfish is using it to, like, immobilize things. So,
I don't know. If anything, it's a tie. It could be used for both. It's a tie. Okay.
I don't know if we've surveyed the entire animal kingdom. I'm not
sure
we can
call it a tie.
We'll do
that by next episode.
But some things to consider. One, when we think about venom, we think about pain, right? Humans are never really the target. Or they certainly were not evolved to be the target. The venom did not evolve to hurt humans. Mm-mm. Now, we have nervous systems that feel pain, like many animals. Mm-hmm. So if a bee stings a bear, and that was like maybe the target for generally how the venom evolved, or the bee evolved that venom, it still can hurt us. We have similar-ish nervous systems. So, but just something important to consider, like, often the venom, while it might hurt us, was not meant to hurt us. And there are some venoms that don't hurt us. And there are some venoms that do, that don't really hurt the other animals. So, like, you know, there's trade-offs, I guess you could say. And this was the part that I spent the most time researching because it was really interesting. I've never thought about it before. A good way to tell if venom is for attacking prey or for defense is how long it takes for the pain to start being felt.
Okay.
Walk me through what you're going through, because this is what sort of my brain was doing.
I feel that if the pain is immediate, then that is more of a defense situation. Like a wasp that stings you is saying, hey, get out of here now.
Yes.
Whereas if it's a prey situation, that predator has time to let the venom take effect.
Mm-hmm. Not run away.
Right. Like they are not in immediate danger.
Or maybe it's not trying to cause pain. It's trying to do something else to it, like immobilize it, stop it from moving. Mm-hmm. And now, again, I caveated with the human approach because there are some things that, you know, might just hurt us. And, like, to a different animal, that might not be the primary response is pain. It might be pain, but it might also be trying to do other things to a different animal that, to us, just hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I thought that was really interesting. And in fact, though, something interesting around snake bites, a 2020 study surveyed 400 people who had collectively 600 experiences of being bitten by snakes.
Whoa.
I'm assuming these are people like field biologists or people who work with snakes, not just randomly 400 people have been bitten.
Come on in. Yeah.
And only a minority of those bites caused rapid severe pain. Which tells you a lot of snakes, at least in this example, attack for preying and are not attacking to cause severe pain.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. I've never
thought of it.
Thought of the time that it takes in terms of, okay.
So thinking to venom, and we'll talk about insects. Margaret, is all venom the same?
No.
It's not. So I'm going to talk about bee venom, wasp venom, hornet venom, and ant venom. Now, already, you just said they're not all the same.
Mm-mm.
Do you think all bee venom's the same?
No.
Or all hornet or ant venom? Right.
No.
So I'm talking very generally. And even in generally speaking, I won't talk about them all, but there's 16 main types of venom.
Wow.
And all the venom inside an ant or a bee is a cocktail. It's not just, so, if, you know, we'll say bee venom, right? Or snake venom.
It's a bunch of different things.
But it's a blend of chemicals. It's not just like, I'm just injecting you with hydrogen peroxide. That's not a venom.
Sure.
But, you know, like, it's not just sending one thing into you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pulled out a couple things I thought were interesting, getting into the chemistry behind venom and why it hurts or doesn't. So ants, bees, wasps, hornets all produce phospholipase A, which is an enzyme that destroys cells. Makes sense, because it needs to destroy cells so the venom can penetrate skin layer is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have an impact.
They all produce histamine.
Hmm. That is why there's swelling when you get stung by something and you need an antihistamine.
Yep. Very good. I thought Thank that you. One was interesting. Mm-hmm. Bees, though, do not produce phospholipase B. Ironically, I just picked up on. which is used for immobilization. So what does that tell you about ants, bees, and wasps?
They're not stinging hornets? For prey.
Bees don't use it to prey. Mm-hmm. Whereas a wasp, a hornet, or an ant
might.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. So even looking at the venom, chemistry will tell you what might it do.
That's really cool.
Stinging ants produce pepperidine alkaloids. I think it's spelled pepperidine. I'm assuming like because of pepper and not a misspelling of pepperdine, mm-hmm. where I don't know if that's where it's discovered or. So this makes ant stings hurt really badly. What's also cool though is that the main proteins in wasp and hornet venom.
Oh.
That
our
is,
dogs have something to say about
that's the sound of
this.
Our venomous dogs practicing their venom chomping routines.
I don't know what their venom does. I think it's defense. It's also offense.
Well,
I don't know.
Satchel's prey is kibble, and Olympia's prey is worms and bees.
That is true.
She's a dog, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But wasp and hornet venom is cool because scientists really don't have a good sense of why it hurts so badly.
Oh.
So they've invented, you know, histamines. We have a pretty good sense of the chemistry of it because we have antihistamines. Mm-hmm. But in wasp and hornet venom, we know there's a large amount that are devoted to, like, this certain chemical. Mm-hmm. But they don't really know outside of its general chemistry why it hurts so badly. Mm-hmm. Which just goes to show you there's always a lot of cool things that scientists are still working on.
Oh, yeah.
And then for bees, I just as an example, even when we say venom, you're not getting injected with just whatever that thing is. For most bee venom, 88% of that that substance is water.
Excellent. And only so you're a little bit more hydrated.
Uh-huh. A little bit.
When you get stung by a bee.
Yep. So thank a bee.
Oh.
And then only 1.5% of it is that phospholipase A, the part that makes it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So even then, the main amount of the thing that hurts might not be that much.
That's a very small percentage.
Yeah. I just thought that was all interesting. And then I'll leave everybody with a little call for action that I've used before. But this is about the Snake Bite Initiative. It is nonprofit in Australia that helps to increase prevention efforts and the availability of antivenom in countries that have the most snake bite deaths in the world, Kenya, Swaziland, and Papua New Guinea. As a statistic for you, every year on average, 81,000 to 138,000 people die of snake bites.
Wow.
But only 7,000 Americans are bitten by a snake each year. So that goes to show you, most of the deaths in the world are not happening in America.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason, though, there are so many deaths is besides them living near venomous snakes,
mm-hmm.
That also the cost of antivenom and keeping them refrigerated or frozen is incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
It can cost $135 to $160 per dose, which a lot of people cannot afford that or be able to find a place that can get them that life-saving antivenom. So you can donate to the Snake Bite Initiative.
Thank you, Camden. Well, you got a lot more accomplished in 20 minutes than I did.
Well, I cheated a little bit. We've done episodes from Don't Pee on Your Leg, not fully on venom and poison, mm-hmm. but some of those things about snake bites and like the Snake Bite Initiative, some of those I stole bits and pieces from.
Well, it was wonderful, but mine's a lot shorter because...
That's fine.
Who doggies?
Again, I kind of cheated.
So my sources were, of course, our good old friend Wikipedia, just for a couple things. And then mostly I used a 2021 study by Correa Brugger et al. There were many, many researchers on this paper. But I researched whether there were any animals in the world that stung with both their heads and their tails. Any initial thoughts?
So I Googled that first and I didn't keep looking.
Mm-hmm.
The only picture I saw was a jellyfish, which doesn't feel like an answer.
No.
Do I know these animals? Are there
any? Let's just get into it. So First of all, animals with stingers on their rear ends are easy to think of, right? Name three of them.
Bee.
Yep.
Hornet.
Yep.
Wasp.
Yep.
Me.
Oh. Yeah, that's the majority of animals that have stingers. They are, I should say, terrestrial animals with stingers. They are on their back end.
Scorpies.
Yep, scorpions, exactly. Animals with stingers on their heads are much, 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 much more rare. Yes.
Question.
Yes, please.
Are we going to loosen our definition of stinger and use like teeth and fangs?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we're not. Great question, but no. In fact, I could only find one example of an animal with a stinger on its head. And I'm, of course, excluding fangs,
yeah,
things like that, injection systems inside an animal's mouth. I'm not counting that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, weedle. They have it on their head.
The dunce cap.
Yes, little dunce
cap. Do I know this animal?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, no.
Is it an insect?
Yes.
Feels like an insect kind of move.
Yeah, yeah. It is a beetle called Onychosaurus albitarsis, or longhorned beetle.
You know, I heard you pronouncing this when we were researching, but that word
no
meant
clues.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Onychosaurus albitarsis. That is a species of venomous beetle that makes its home in Brazil, Peru, Bolivia, and Paraguay. And this is the only known beetle known to envenomate with its antenna. Yeah.
Whoa.
So when you hear longhorn beetle, you're probably thinking of like a longhorn steer, perhaps. And that's essentially what it is. The antenna are long, 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 long. And at the end of the antenna are these scorpion-like hooks, like barbs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the venom travels through channels in the antenna of the longhorn beetle and into those stinging segments at the very end. And it doesn't sound, though, if you're worried, like this
worried.
Venom. Don't be worried.
Oh.
It doesn't sound like this venom would be deadly. It sounds like it would be...
But does it feel deadly?
No.
Okay.
No. So in this study that I found by, let's see, Correa et al., people that were stung by the longhorn beetle that were collecting them for this, basically it was a population study, people that were stung experienced, quote, pain, irritation, inflammation, and swelling at the wound site.
Unlike any other.
With the, nope, with the inflammation lasting up to 7 days. End quote. So,
like a mosquito bite.
Not a pleasant experience, but definitely not deadly.
Yeah.
Also, these beetles, how big do you think they would be based on what I've described so far?
There are some big beetles.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing something like the size of like maybe a little bigger than a June bug.
Pretty much. Yeah. They are less than an inch long typically.
Okay.
So it is kind of impressive that something so tiny,
so
tiny,
bitty, bitty. I mean,
can deliver a sting with their antenna.
Yeah, that just feels so flimsy, like it wouldn't even get you.
I know. Well, and the thing is, because I really wanted to find, like, how are they doing this? How, I know, I mean, I know insects can move their antenna around, but it just seems so difficult to actually envenomate with something, like you said, so flimsy, but they're so rare that we don't know a lot about them.
So, seeing as you just said we don't know a lot about them, mm-hmm. I assume you don't know, are
yeah,
they using this for defense or attacking?
It's just for defense because I believe they eat plants. I believe they're herbivorous.
That. You want to mobilize that plant, though?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think that, again, they're so rare. They were doing this population study because the previous study had been done, I think, in the mid-1800s with all these specimens, but the specimens had been burned up in this museum fire, so they were trying to get this started again.
Owie.
But again, like, we don't know a lot about them. They're very rare, very hard to find. So if you're ever wandering around the rainforests of Brazil, Bolivia, Peru, Paraguay...
You find one.
You are fine. You will not come across them. If you do, tell a scientist, take a picture.
Quick.
Quickly, come on down here.
Call 292, the science hotline.
So you were talking about the different types of venom and what is in them.
I was.
We don't know what this venom is made
Dang.
Of. Sorry. But that is the one example I could find of
wow,
an animal that injects venom through something on their
Do you think
head.
We're going to turn off the podcast, like, or stop the recording and at the end be like, oh my gosh, a dolphin. A
unicorn beetle. Yeah. Yeah, a dolphin. So if it was difficult to find a terrestrial animal, one terrestrial animal that had a stinger on its head, I don't think that I'm going to come across an animal with one stinger on their head and one on their tail. However, I could be wrong. So if you, listener, can think of an animal that has a stinger on both ends of its body and not in the middle,
not
please let
teeth.
Me know.
We're not counting,
not
teeth,
counting teeth, not counting any sort of fang situation. We're talking stinger on the head and stinger on the tail.
Okay.
If you can think of that, email me, please, at don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com because I want to know. I'd even like to know if you can think of more animals that just have a stinger on their head.
Yeah.
Again, not including fangs. Love to hear from you. don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com.
Thanks, the end. Margaret.
Yeah.
You did it. That was really great. I have never really thought. I feel like if you would just ask me in casual conversation, I'd be like, yeah, I'm sure there are some.
I'm sure there are one.
Well, you know what time it is.
Time to rate the realism.
Time to rate that Pokemon from 0 to 10 Pokeballs on how real it is. So Margaret and I have just done some research. We've seen the picture of this cute little guy.
Weird little
dude. Thinking about venom. Mm-hmm. Thinking about stingers in places.
We didn't even touch on the little nubby legs.
Or his big old nose.
Yeah. Do you want to go first with the rating? Oh no! Wait. We should think of the rating first.
I have one.
Okay. Ready? Let's say it on three. One, two, three. Interesting. Tell me more about your rating.
I mean, I think all it's got going for it is that it's segmented with
yes.
legs. And is like worm. Like you look at it, I think people be like, that's like a bug.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll give it points for that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like if you looked at Bulbasaur, you're like, what is that? What is that?
Yeah.
Although going back, I don't know why we gave Bulbasaur. But
I think we were doing Bulbasaur when we still only did out of 5 Pokeballs.
Yeah,
so
maybe we'll do a special episode
system.
When we finish and like look back
when
at
we
our
finish when we're in our
what we're
70s.
Yeah, but uh-huh. when we look back and think about where did we get it wrong, where mm-hmm. were we right?
Mm-hmm.
Two. What
okay.
about you?
I'm much the same. I think to me 2 is too low.
I saved 1 and 0 on purpose.
I know you did. I know you know what's coming. But 3 because it does. You know that they want it to look like a caterpillar.
Yeah.
That's what you know. And so I understand that and I know that, but there's nothing else that's realistic about it, really.
I feel like we've gotten angry at each other.
Never.
During the ratings.
Oh, yeah.
like Butterfree, I thought we
you,
had some.
You,
I
you,
ranked it higher.
No, you were mad. You and John were mad at me about.
Well, it had to be Butterfree if John was
well,
there.
Well, yeah, but the second, the chrysalis stage, what's that one called?
Oh,
Metapod. You were
Metapod.
Mad at me about Metapod.
Metapod.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you got fixated
not to,
on the
not
eyes.
To open up old wounds.
But anyway.
Okay.
All that said, I agree with you. I could maybe be convinced, like a 3 is fine. I'm not like, oh, it should be lower.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Like, we got to save 1 and 0
mm-hmm.
for some wild
mm-hmm.
ones.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
And technically, they don't have to be living things.
No, no.
Not to, you know, give any clues, but yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Camden is 2 Pokeballs. I am 3. Another excellent Pokemon in the books, Weedle. That was...
Well done.
Weedle.
Weedle, see you next week.
Weedle, see you soon. Thank you. I was searching for something like that. Until then, you can support our shows and our shows and
yeah,
our shows. Other shows, our shows and this show and other shows that we do.
Our shows.
Well, it says on our script.
There's no script, oh, Margaret.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. This is all off the top of our head. No notes. We don't take notes. You can support our shows by supporting us on Patreon. By going to Patreon.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Now I'm off script.
Yeah. Patreon.com/don't pee on your leg. That's where you can go to support us and earn access to bonus content. Gotta classify them all as produced every other week, with public episodes being published once a month. So you'll get odd numbered episodes on the public feed on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. But to get the even numbered episodes, you gotta be a Patreon supporter. So again, you can join us, support us, and gain access to bonus content at patreon.com/don't pee on your leg.
You can find more content from us from our social media pages on Instagram at Don't Pee on Your Leg, Twitter at Don't Pee on Your Leg, just the letter P, and Facebook at facebook.com/don't pee on your leg. Gotta Classify Them All is a podcast produced by two birds, one scone. Articles, blog posts, and more about what you can do every day to conserve our environment can be found at www.twobirdsonescone.org.
Our music is original by Riley Taylor and Camillo. If you have questions, comments, if you can think of an animal with a stinger on its head and its tail, please email us at gottaclassify@gmail.com or don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com.
They'll all come back to us.
Yeah, they'll all get to us.
Have a great week. Thank you.